Good evening, friends. We are happy to be in Phoenix tonight at this service, but we're sorry it being the last night. And so we hope that God will give us His greatest blessings tonight, that there will be no sick among us when we leave tonight, no one afflicted. I want you here on the stretchers, cots, chairs. I want you to do something for me tonight. I want you to believe with all your heart. I'd like to see every one of you walking out tonight well. He loves you, friends. Just because your diseases and things seem to be incurable, that's just Satan telling you that. It's no more for him to heal you than it is to heal anybody. You believe with all your heart tonight. Just believe it. Don't make him ever tell you what your mind says about it. Just take what God says about it. I know it's the truth. I wouldn't tell you that if I really knew that it was absolutely the truth. Now, we want to thank first, I guess Brother Moore, usually the manager does this, but I want to take this opportunity myself to thank each and every one of you for helping make this the best meeting, I believe, that as we've had in Phoenix. More spiritual and settled than any meeting I've had in Phoenix. I want to thank this fine group of ministers, the cooperating ministers that helped us to have this meeting. All the sponsors, many of them couldn't sponsor because they had their own revivals and things going on. We never tried to make such a great big thing that everybody has to close up their churches. Some of the brethren had big tents and so forth. They got to have everybody's got to close up or they can't come. Well, I've never cared my meeting just like that. I make it simple and little and just to go and do the best I can. Appreciate all that did come, and those who couldn't come, I appreciate them just the same. And our expansion is that way, Lord. Our budget's not very much to make, and so therefore we don't have to strain the people. Just take up our ordinary offering and pay off our debt as soon as the budget's made, that settles it. And now I hear that tonight they've given a love offering to me. I certainly appreciate that. Wish I didn't have to take it. Just got a big obligation. You can imagine what it is. And office going all the time. My obligation's about $100 a day, regardless of where I'm at the distance of Jeffersonville. Regardless of whether I'm in the services or not, you can realize how far I go back in the hole sometimes. And now, we send out lots of prayer cards like these here, and we send them all over the world. Sometimes as many as 1,000 one day, we've sent out. And all of you are welcome. Anytime I can be of help to you, write me and let me know. Don't say that. See, many times you say, write me, just to get your address. But I don't have any radio programs to sponsor, I don't have anything. Just you let me, just so I can help you, just to send you a prayer call or something, I'd be glad to do it. Have prayer for you, I'll be happy to do so. And now, I want to thank each and every one of you for your cooperation, all you people have been coming, all that you've given, and the love offering tonight. Every penny that doesn't have to go exactly for what living we have, we live poor, just like the rest of people. People can't understand that. Well, I've been on the field longer than all the rest of them, and yet don't have anything. It's because that I spend what little I do have in foreign missions, friends. Everything. God is my solemn judge to that. See? That everything I get, it's in a line of finance. If we try to live common like people, and then what little we have left over, I build it up to get enough to get it overseas. We go over and preach the gospel into those who've never heard it before. And win thousands times thousands and thousands of Christ. When our money runs out, we come back. Come to America and go through and visit our friends. They help us out a little as soon as we get enough build up, away we go again. Now, I know it. I've got plenty of friends. I've got friends sitting right in this building tonight. Just say, here, Brother Bram, I'll write you a check to go overseas. But that wouldn't be fair to the rest of the people. See, every one of us wants a little bit in that. That's right. Every fellow, his dime, 15 cents, quarter, whatever it is, that's part in the kingdom. And that way, And I know it's the Lord sending me over there. I suppose for sea again, I'll probably have another overseas tour. One's coming up now for all Africa, Tanzania, Rhodesia, up to into India again. And so we trust that you'll be praying for us as we go along. I met one friend today, told me not to mention their names from the platform, but at their presence, they know how we appreciate them, every one of them. I love them with all my heart. And then some people have been, they know that I'm a, like to hunt so well, so I have been very well fed with wild animals. They brought me, two or three people brought deer to the place I was staying, brought elk, and even buffalo and javelina hogs. So I just had a great time. That's my first time for some of that. It was really good. The Lord bless you. You just know how I love that. And I thank you so kindly. And it's the first time I'd ever tasted any javelina hog or a buffalo, and it was really good. And I appreciate it very much. And the elk and deer was wonderful. And I just love that kind of stuff. I don't know what makes me do it, but I like it anyway. I like the woods and the outdoors, so I like what goes with it. So I appreciate you very, very much. And now, to all of you rallied around, wonderful faith, been wonderful. The meeting's been a little hard on me, friends. This has been the first time in my meetings that I've ever tried to make my own altar call, preach, make my altar call, bring the people to Christ, and then pray for the sick. And pretty hard. For the last few days, I've been almost knocked out. So this is just not the only meeting I go to. I just start right straight in California. We're packed right now, most of our staff, ready to leave for California. And we'll be over there, and then come right back, making Georgia, right from there up into Colorado, and just on and on. And it certainly gets kind of tired. Now, one time, the greatest thrills that I've been having in my meetings, especially recently, I always turn the altar call over to the manager or someone. But what a thrill it gives me to see people raising up and accepting the Lord Jesus as personal Savior. And I am so happy for that. And I want the ministers to understand this, that my sponsors and those who are near, I would like to come back to Phoenix sometime, if God willing, just to have a meeting of just preaching the gospel and bringing the people to the altar and laying hands upon them to receive the Holy Spirit. Well, this discernment, the visions, is what knocks me out, though. How would you like us to come back and have a meeting like that? Would you like it? Well, God bless you. Thank you very much. Maybe pray for the sick, but not under the discernment, so I can stay a long time instead of just staying a few nights and having to leave while we stay longer. Thank you kindly. As I'm making my tour across the nation now before going overseas, I'm asking that. And Los Angeles, on the Christian Businessman, the first 5 nights of the meeting is just preaching and laying hands on the sick and praying for them as they come through the line. We catch every one of them. And now, that is not exactly the way I use my ministry, but it's the way the people are taught and they believe for that, so I'd like to do it that way a while. You just can't mix it up because when vision first starts, then you have no control of it. It keeps going. And now, I wish tonight I could explain and tell you how that happens, but I can't. That's just as much mystery to me as it is to you. Now, I think that covers everything except the custodians and the ushers and so forth. We thank this Shriner Brotherhood for letting us have this auditorium. I hope that the custodians and managers and so forth are present. If not, may you tell them the deepest of appreciation. This is the second time they've let us have it, and we appreciate that. The Lord bless them all. The ushers have been so kind to help us get the prayer line ready, and especially the little usher has been coming with Billy, helping me in out here, a little wonderful little chap. I got to shake his hand a few moments ago, and when they're praying me in, they don't talk, as anyone knows that, so we get to the platform after coming out from prayer, and we sure thank the brethren. And the rest of them, to Brother Ballard and all this fine bunch of brothers are sitting back here, Brother Goff, Fuller, trust them anyhow. Know their faith, but sometimes can't call their names. I think they're a wonderful man. And I'll be one of them. I believe Brother Fuller starting his Bible right to this evening. Tomorrow night. We sure make that announcement that Brother Fuller here of the is it Fuller Tabernacle Faith Temple? Have you already announced it here? I guess anyhow. And we're just glad to announce any revival, any time, and word we're going to have. Hurry quickly. Everybody stand these revivals that's announced now, and go right on and serve the Lord. Don't let your house life die down. Just keep a moving in these revivals. Oh, it's so wonderful to know that the Lord Jesus lives today, isn't it? Lives and reigns within our hearts. And now, tonight, I don't want to take very much time. I want to speak this little while on the Word and then go right into the line of praying for the sick. I had it kind of announced out that maybe I just make a sway call, and then I kind of feel like maybe leave it to the Lord and see what He's going to do about it, that down to the end of the row when we get to that time. Sometimes He just lets us go right to the last moment and tell us what to do. But we love Him for that, don't we? Now, the Lord bless you. And pray for me. How many will promise me that you'll pray for me? I just, God bless you, oh my. Children, I just think of going in and shaking hands with the people. And how I would like to come down through this aisle tonight. Really, the truth, I'd like to go home with every one of you. Stay all night. Sit up and talk a while. Get up in the morning and talk. I'd love to do that. My heart is long to meet people like that. But I almost have to be in isolation on account of the type of ministry that I got. Because I just can't do that and have the meeting. But God knows that I love you. So I'm making an appointment with every one of you. This, when I see you in the glory land, if God permits me to be there with you, I just want to go over and sit down for 1,000 years with each one of you and talk. And we're just, we want to have no less time to talk than when we first began. We'll talk it all over then, won't we? Won't it be wonderful? Sit down on the tree of life. And you'll only be entertained by all the great singers. There'll be Spanky, Beverly Shea, and all of them over on the hill over there just to sing in the praises of God. We'll be sitting down with the tree of life for the waters are coming out from under the throne. Won't that be marvelous? I just long for the day. What does it matter to a Christian that's really anchored in Christ? For just as soon as this old earthly tabernacle is taken away, we move right into another one. Right there. My, isn't that marvelous? Saints sick and weary and broke down and heartbroken. Everything going wrong in the world, all in the turmoil. Think, well, come, Lord Jesus. The first thing you know, this old shaky body begin to wither away, and you feel the painful moving to it, the chilly death moving up the sleeve. Then look at the other's a brand new body. Standing right there, just move out of this and right into that one. For when this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have one already waiting just to move into it. A new one not made with hands, but God has made it fashioned eternally. The glory of God to move right into, to become new and young again, to never be sick. Oh, my. Why, death hasn't got any hold on a Christian, has it? Death is just something that Jesus takes to run on into the presence of His Master. He's wonderful when you can think of it in that way. Isn't that right? How that death can't hold a Christian, just sweeps him right. Now, what kind of a body that'll be before we return to pick up this body, I don't know. It's not revealed to man yet, but we know that we're not going to be spirit if we leave here. The Spirit's going to leave this tabernacle to move into one that God has made. Not just the Spirit, it's the body. Amen. It's got all fashion, everything. Oh, it'll be wonderful, won't it? Now, we'll read just a little out of the Word, because His Word isn't going to fail. My words will, and any other man's word will, but His Word isn't going to fail. So over in St. Luke, I've been preaching so much about the Old Testament, I thought tonight I'd turn around a little bit and get some out of the New. Just being a typologist, I had to kind of go back and get a line of the Old to know what the New looks like. So I believe if I had the shadow of the thing, I'll notice about what it is when it gets there, if we see the shadow of it. Now, in the New Testament, St. Luke, the 24th chapter, and beginning with the 30th verse, just for a way of text, we read this through these verses. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, that he took bread, and blessed it, and brake it, and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked to us by the way, and while he opened unto us the Scripture? Now let's ask him, the resurrected Lord Jesus, if he won't open to us the Scripture now, while we sit and wait on him. Shall we bow our heads while we pray? Our beloved Savior, we have come to thee tonight with open hearts, if we know them. We come to thee with this blessed assurance that's been placed in our innermost being that thou art the Son of the living God, that you died for our sins, and separating us then from sin, and is raised from the dead, and now seated at the right hand of the Majesty on high, and has sent back the Holy Spirit. And we thank thee for the witness of the Holy Spirit, confirming the words, the signs following. We thank thee for this great, marvelous meeting, that only by thy grace have we been able to fellowship in. How we fellowship around the Word and around the Spirit of God. All of us belonging to different organizations, as to say, but all together and seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, has opened our hearts to the Word and let the Holy Spirit come in. Feed us. Hundreds have received thee as their Savior. We're so thankful for it. And the sick, the crippled, those who've been sitting in wheelchairs, paralyzed, laying on cots, stretchers, have been made whole and walked out. Blind, deaf, dumb, all kinds of diseases has been healed. And thou, O God, has come into the midst of the people, and their faith has drawn out supernatural words, explaining to them their life of what they have done and what they must do and what will be. God, which was a part of God. God seeing what the end would be from the beginning, and the Logos comes to the earth, which is Christ, the Word, spoken Word of God, part of God, and was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then we come out of Christ, which makes the same life that was in God, in Christ, in you. And just as sure as God raised this up, we've got to come with the same thing at the same Spirit in us. Because it's the Spirit of God making us sons and daughters of God. Oh, isn't it marvelous? How do we get it? By believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why. Accepting it. And then God, in return, gives us the Holy Spirit, crying in our hearts, Have our Father. My God, my God. And then we are resurrected in the last days to be caught up. He said, that day you shall know that I am the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. There is the Spirit. Coming out of God, manifested as the Logos, come down and make flesh dwell among us, rest, die, taken on penalty of sin, raised up again, setting at the Majesty on high, to the right hand of God, and the Holy Spirit coming back, bringing in the same Spirit into individuals now to bring them back into relationship with the Creator. Isn't that marvelous? Then all the atomic bombs and all the, you see the paper today? Looks like war's fixing to boom again. They're turning their guns. What difference does that make to a real believer? How many guns is there? Amen. God's got the reins in his hand. Amen. And whenever he gets time for us to get away from here, whether it's by whatever way that we go, there's nothing, not death, nothing else can separate us from God. We have everlasting life. Can't come into condemnation because Christ said so. We've already passed from death to life. Now,
in Jerusalem, the beginning of our text tonight, it had been a very marvelous 3.5 years that had a revival. The great anticipations waited up on the people on a man that the world and the church rejected, the Lord Jesus. He was considered a fanatic. And we call today, if we put in the words today, he was a holy roller. He absolutely disagreed with their theology, and yet God vindicated that he was with him. Peter said, Acts 2, he said, "You man of Israel, you should have known this. For this Jesus of Nazareth was a man approved of God among you. The signs and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you all, which you all bore witnesses." You ought to have known it. But said, "You with wicked hands have crucified the Prince of Life. Wherefore God raised him up, and we're witnesses." That's it. God proved that that was his beloved Son by the signs and wonders that he did, showing that God was with him. I want to ask you something, believer, and especially to my ministering brethren back here. Any time the church in the last 2,000 years has ever had a revival, or any time in the world that the church ever had a revival, there were signs and wonders accompanying the revival. Yes, sir. Signs of the supernatural God living in the people. That gives the people a view. What hope do we have unless we know that there is something supernatural? Every man is trying to look past the curtain of time. You know, you come from somewhere, you're going somewhere. So it takes a little peek past the curtain of time. Moses wanted to see it. God let him see it. So we can see it also. Christ, the resurrected one. Now, the church had come out. Are there affiliations with the great Orthodox Jewish church at that time, the Sanhedrin, and had brought themselves out and had followed the Lord Jesus, no matter how black the people tend to think as an illegitimate child? They recognized that God was in him. He said, "My sheep know my voice." See, they were spiritual inside, and when they seen him, they recognized that he was different from them, priests and teachers and so forth. So they followed him wherever he went. They loved him. They couldn't understand him. He was a mystery even to the apostles. No one could understand him because there were two people talking all the time. The person, Jesus Christ, was talking, and God was talking in him also. Sometimes it was Christ himself, sometimes it was the Father that dwelt in him. You see, and they couldn't understand some things he would say. He talked in riddles to them. Jesus finally said, when he was talking to them one day, I came from God, I come into the world, and I go back again to God. And so the disciples said, "Now you speak plainly. Now we understand and we believe that you know all things. And by this we believe that you are the Son of God. We believe on you now. Because you know all things. God shows you all things. And you need no man to have to tell you because God has showed it to you. And that's the reason we believe that you come out from God." See, right before his crucifixion, St. John, about, I believe, the 15th or 17th chapter. I don't remember 15, I think. All right. Notice. Now, they loved him and they believed him because it seemed work that God was with him in confirming the word that he preached. See, a man can come and say anything. That's just the man's word. But when God comes around and says, "That's the truth," confirms it, then you better believe it because God said so. So he spoke of God being in him. He said, "It's not me that doeth the work. It's my Father that dwells in me. He doeth the work. I do nothing of myself. Just what the Father showed me, that I do." And they found out that every what the Father showed him and he told him was just exactly the truth. He stood in the audience. He perceived what they were thinking about. He said, "Why are you reasoning your heart about that?" And he found out things like that. They know it comes from God. And he said that things that he done, how the Father showed him, and he found out everything that he said was the truth. So that was a sign to the two anyhow. If there be one among you, spiritual or prophet, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in visions, speak to him in dreams. And what this prophet said, if it comes to pass, then hear him, for I'm with him. But if it isn't coming to pass, then don't hear him. I haven't spoken to him. Just falsely and flesh. I haven't heard him, or I haven't been with him. But it was a sign that they seen that God was actually manifesting himself through Christ. And that's exactly what the scripture said. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself.
Yes,
now, notice, then along came the disappointing time. As this great, wonderful one who could speak to the dead, and he would raise again. Now all the dead, he just spoke to three of them, as recorded in the scripture, and the three raised up, of course, three's a testimony, a witness. Now for two or three witnesses, every word was established. And each time he said, the Father had did it, the Father showed him what to do. Now, and they see a man who could raise the dead and yet die, not only die an ordinary death, take sick and die, but would be stood and made fun of. A man who could perceive their thoughts and tell the people what they were doing, then when come to the test, the trial, had a rag wrapped around his head, and he hit him on the head with a stick and said, you're a prophesier. What else did you hit me? We'll believe you now. And reached over and pulled beard out of his face and spit in his face. A divine person. How could that be? I imagine his followers said, well, why don't you just do something about it? Well, if he'd have done something about it, you and I would have been in an awful fix tonight. He couldn't do nothing about it. Save himself and save others, he had to give himself. So he didn't clown with his gifts and powers. They hit him on the head and said, now, tell us who hit you. Then when he's on the cross, he could save others and still the weight of his sea. And you're the raging fever on him, him dying, the blood coming out of it. And the Jews said, now, if you be the Son of God, show us a miracle. Do something for us. Come down off the cross, and we'll believe you to be the Son of God. We'll believe you if you'll come off the cross. See? That critical spirit. How he just lets those things happen so. That it fools the wise and prudent and will reveal it to babe such as will learn. You've got to forget all you ever know and let yourself be submissive to the Spirit of God. Then God can go into teach you. Don't try to go away and get all these big educations and scholarships to know God. You don't know God with scholarship. You know God by faith. You believe Him. And God reveals Himself to you. I like that, don't you? He's made it so simple, so humble. Now, so humble and it's so simple so the wise people can't understand it. It's so simplified that the wise don't get it. They've got to make it complicated to the church. They've got to make it a great big lot of sanctifying things you have to do and stop this and do this and all this, that, and the other. Well, it's not at all. Just believe it and accept it and that settles it. God comes into the heart and He takes care of the rest of it. If He can ever gain gain a place in your heart, then the rest of it will take care of itself. I love that. Notice that how could a divine man who they thought would be the king that was coming, the deliverer of Israel, and that man will humiliate himself to let the unclean Gentiles hit him on the head and not say a word to him? Why didn't he show his power? God has times and ways of doing things. They pull his beard out. Spit in his face, love, insult. Do something about it. You're the king. He said, I could have asked my Father and he'd send me 12 legions of angels, but my kingdom's not of this world. He said, you don't understand it. Oh, they said, away with such a heretic. And they got him up there and crucified him, and he died. And they buried him and put him away and sealed him in the tomb. Now you talk about a disappointed people that have to go out and face the world again after they come out of their churches believing in that type of religion, and they come out of their churches, then they had to go back and face their churches again after the very thing they believed on seemingly had failed. Yes, they seemingly all hope was gone. The very one that they thought was the divine prophet or the Messiah, he had been so bitterly abused before the people, and so powerless and helpless. When he was out amongst the people, he'd done all kinds of signs, but when he was standing here on trial, he never even tried to defend himself. Just let them beat him around, put him against the lashing post, take those great cat of nine tails, get big balls of lead on the end of leather, and split his back down with them when they get him the lashes across his back. Never opened his mouth. Tuck him up the hill, nailed him to a cross, pulled him up and set him down with flesh tearing from his hands. And even scream for mercy. That's right. Now, into the people's mind, how could that bend the Son of God? And to let the people treat him and make him around and do that to him. See, not knowing the scriptures is the reason they did that was. Now, we'll see in a few minutes. All right, they're buried so well. The Sabbath was over. The first day of the week come along, so they set up for the Sabbath. Peter got his feet net and was going back out to go at his commercial trade again, fishing. Well, I guess I was wrong after all. Maybe that fellow was a fanatic. I can see it. Cleopius and his friends saying, well, let's go on back to Emmaus. It's all over. The man we had so much confidence in to be a real, true, divine man sent from God, a real divine person, yet it must have really been. Maybe the big church was right. That was mental telepathy. He was reading their minds. Human being. Maybe really he was a spiritualist. Maybe he was just a spiritualist. And that's the reason the earth shook and things when he died up there. Maybe he was just what the priest said he was, a Beelzebub. Or all the church. Maybe that was right. So he picked up his friends and said, let's go on the road back now, back over to Emmaus, the home, and we'll start our carpenter trade or whatever it was, start back to building or whatever it was going to do. All this hard, going along the road fast, not knowing that the blessed Lord Jesus had resurrected on the Easter morning and was alive among the people. Brother Foxy don't only mean flowers and hangs, it means resurrection too in that case. Amen. Just at the springtime, when the Easter flowers were blooming, everything so pretty, a very type of nature, resurrection has to come in the spring. That's the reason the resurrection is in springtime. Resurrection of everything. And surely the King of Nature resurrected the Creator of Nature. Resurrected with the rest of the resurrection nature. And here they are on the road going over to their place, walking along the road. I like to listen in on them. Wouldn't you just a minute? Stand around and see what they were saying. I hear one saying, well, Corbin, what do you think about it? I'm disappointed. Well, I guess we just have to face the preacher again. So I guess we were wrong, this fella. My hate to do that. My confidence is really built up in. And notice, while they spoke about him, talked about him, he appeared. That's a good way to get him around you. Talk about him all the time. Amen. Keep your conversation. Not on who's the, or the next play comes up on the television, or the next movie's going to come, or who's going to be elected president. Talk about Jesus. Christians talk about everything but Christ in these days. Go out, you always got a bunch of nonsense and everything you want to talk about or something. But never talking about Christ. Talk about him. Say about him. Write him. Keep him on your heart and mind all the day and night. David said about he'd bind the laws up on his fingers and a bedpost in it. So he'd be before him all the time. That's the way. Keep him before you in memory, thought, praise, speech, all that you do, keep Christ before you. That's the way to keep him near you. While they were talking about him, he appeared on the scene. Unknown to them, many of the people that really loved him didn't know that he had raised from the dead. And if that isn't a true sense of the word tonight, I don't know what it is. Many of the people that really love the Lord Jesus can't understand that He's here. He's in this building right now. He's moving in and out of the people. The resurrected Lord Jesus. It's so hard for people to see that. Look, He's sitting along here in these chairs and cots and things. If you could see that too and believe it with all your heart and accept His word, you would go out of here like a perfect well person. Yes, for He has risen from the dead. Notice, walking with them, they loved Him and He didn't know it. They didn't know that He was. Many times He's been right along with you. There, maybe when you're just about to have an accident, something happened, you don't know why happened. Something took place, that was Him. When the doctor came over and said, the baby, I don't see how I can live. And after a while, the baby got well. That was Jesus. He's with you. Oh, how wonderful. Here long ago, a little woman that was, I remember she went to, lived down below my church. She does now in Jeffersonville. She is a sanitarian at Waverly Hills, and they brought her down, and they said, the doctor said she had to die right away. They'd go give her, I believe, 10 days, 2 weeks to live, a tuberculosis. Now, I went down there to see her. They called me down. It's been about 8 years ago or 10, just before I come to Phoenix the first time. And I went down there and was praying for the woman. She had about 5 little children. And I was praying with her that night, and while I prayed and got up, I seen her even with thinning gray hair. Her hair was dark brown, and I seen her with thinning gray hair. Her children walking in, shaking hands with her. Years later, and I said, "Sister, thus saith the Lord, you're going to live." She started weeping. She said, "Reverend Branham, something's happened in my heart." She said, I just feel that I'm going to live. Something just satisfies me. I'm going to get well. And I said, you are, for it's thus saith the Lord. I went back up, told him at the church, there's a man lived next door to me, very fine friend, and he had a hobby of making letter things. By the way, he made me this pocketbook. I've had carried that for 10 years. He made it out of a deer skin that I got myself. Got the picture of a tabernacle on it, the inside. Got a fish here and a deer head here. So he made me that old pocketbook. I've carried it in memorial of that for so long. A perfect, total infidel. The scientist worked at the government depot. He didn't believe there was such a thing as God. Said anybody believe such a creed? He said, I can understand easily how people can get that in their mind. This morning, standing at a businessman's office here in this city with some ministers, how they talk about how Mohammedism in Africa is sweeping. Look, 25 Mohammedans to 1 Christian. That's the pressure. Why? Mohammedism is hooked together, one unity. They believe that the Koran is inspired. We Christians, the first thing, we're separated between Catholic and Protestant. The Catholic says the Bible is inspired, but the Catholic Church is over the Bible. The Protestant says, well, it's inspired as much as I believe. The rest of it's not inspired. Fussing, fighting, arrogance, separating. Oh, it's a pitiful thing. I'm sure glad God got a hold of me before the church did. That's right. Yes, sir. God taught me first, so I'd have probably been an unbeliever. I see what people call themselves Christians and a church and so forth, and each one wanting to pull little gnats and everything from one to the other, separating unseemly, not having the faith. Sure. Now, this man was a perfect infidel. And somebody got the news out the next day that I said that about the woman. I went out having services yet. I was patrolling out on high lines, my clothes ragged. I got on my old bicycle and went over to get some groceries down at the store, and I turned the corner where that woman lived, just 2 blocks below where I was, and here comes the infidel walking down the street. And he spoke to me. I said, "Good morning, sir." And he said, "Hello, preacher." I said, "Just a minute, I'll talk to you." He said, "Aren't you ashamed of yourself?" And I said, "What?" He said, "Telling that poor little dying mother in there if she is going to live. Building that people up under a false hope like that, I said, well, I never build them up under no false hope. He said, well, she died. Said her husband works for me out there at the government. And said he told me that you come over there last night and or not for that was then and prayed for her. And she and you told her that she was going to be well, live to be an old woman. I said, that's right. I never did that. God did that. He said, nonsense. He said, shame on you. You ought to be gentleman enough not to fill people up under such things false as that. I said, that's not false. He said, oh, away with such. Turn around, walk on. I thought, well, okay. I went on, got my groceries. I come back. About 2 or 3 days after that, he had a lovely little wife, was a believer. And so my wife knew her real well, said she was a lovely lady, and she belonged to the Christian church. So my wife told me when I come in, said, well, that Mrs. Andrews is very ill. Billy said, you ought to go over and see her. I said, all right. I said, her husband's that infidel. I said, I have to walk easy. So I said, I'll go over and ask him if I get him some chili and coal for him, and maybe she'll ask me if I want me to pray for her. And so I went over and I said, how did you, Mr. Andrews? He said, hello, preacher. And I said, I hear you got a sick wife. I said, yes, I have, but I got a good doctor with her. I said, yes, sir. I just wanted to ask you, Mr. Andrews, being that we're neighbors here so close, if I could help you get in some coal or run errands in the grocery or anything, I'd do it for you. He said, oh, well, thank you very much. But said, we got a good doctor with her. Everything will be all right. He told me who the doctor was in the city. And I said, he is a fine man. I said, I like him very much. Yeah, we got the situation. He said, you got sinusitis. He said, it'll be all right. I said, he's breathing it out. It'll be okay. I said, thank you, Mr. Andrews. I certainly hope so. If I can be of any help to you, I'll live next door. Just call me. Shut the door on him. Kind of unconcerned. Well, the next day the doctor came up and said, well, we had to take her to the hospital. She's swelling awful bad. Said, we'll have to take her to the hospital and operate. So they took her out of the hospital, and when they took the blood test from her, found out she didn't have appendicitis. So they sent the local for a specialist. And they got the specialist over there, the specialist examined her, and when he did, he said, she's got between 4 and 6 hours to live. There's a blood clot right near the heart. That's what's wrong. He said, she's gone. That's all. So my wife told me next morning, said, Miss Andrews, go to die. Billy said, I just heard she got a blood clot. The nurse, one of the nurse friends, called up and said, she's fixing to die. She's already unconscious. I said, it's too bad. Maybe I hate to hear that poor thing. I said, we'll just pray for her. So we prayed. I went on and started off to work. It's like drizzling rain. I was going out through the fields. Stuff kept saying, turn and go back. Turn and go back. So I thought, well, I'll turn and go back. So I went back, called up and turned in. It was inclement weather, so I couldn't work. Just for that cause, I knew the Lord wanted something. And so first thing you know, I sat there and taken my old gun apart and cleaned it out. And the first thing you know, coming around the house, come Mr. Andrews. Walking on, tackle that over his ears, knocked on the door, and he said, Miss Branham, said, is Preacher Branham here? I said, yes, Mr. Andrews, won't you come in? So he come in. I said, hello, Mr. Andrews, get your chair. I kept working on my gun, you know, and he said, Preacher, I said, yes, sir. He said, my wife's pretty sick. You heard about it? I said, yes, I heard she's going down to send you. I said, too bad. I said, of course, you got a real good doctor out there. And I said, I just hope she gets along all right. He said, well, I said, we got a specialist. You understood that? I said, yes, I understood you, Mr. Andrews. Heard the blood clot near the heart. I said, yes, I said, that's right. I said, my wife said, she's in awful shape. I said, yes, sir, that sure is too bad. I thought, you sweat it out. You made me sweat it, so now you sweat. Well, so I just kept cleaning on my gun. Let him be some sweating. So I just kept cleaning on my gun, looking to it like that. It was clean, but I just didn't take a little while. So I kept looking to it like that. He said, Preacher, he said, you know what? I said, what, Mr. Andrews? He said, I wonder if you could help her a little bit. And I said, what do you mean? He said, you know. And I said, you mean pray for it? He said, yes. I said, I thought you didn't believe in God. I said, I thought you told me less than a week ago down that corner you didn't even believe there was a God. He said, well, he said, you know, yeah, when the time comes, you'll believe. That's right. You better get close up to your own door one time. You'll believe it. And I said, well, all right, Mr. Andrews, what do you, he said, would you go out and pray for her? I said, I want to ask you something, Mr. Andrews. I said, how about you kneeling here with me? Let's pray for it right here. And he said, I don't hardly know what to do. I said, you just kneel here, I'll instruct you. And so he got down there. I said, now raise up your hands. I said, the first thing from the bottom of your heart, say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. So I got him to pray. He got to cry. So, oh my, he said, got up, wiped his eyes, and said, well, preacher, you think she's going to be helped? He said, would you go out? And I said, yes, I'll go out here. So I said, the meeting, get your coat on. We went out there. And when she did, she didn't know it. Just swollen way up her eyes, her lips turned out. So little nurse, when they come in, she said, come on, Brother Branham, take me up there. And I knelt down, prayed for her, put my hand over on her, stood there a little while. My wife stood there, and she said, see anything? I said, no, honey, I don't. We walked out down around where the babies was and looked in the maternity ward there, you know, where the babies was all laying. She talked about that. I went back to Miss Andrews again. Just as I went in the door, I seen it. Oh, my. Well, I said, honey, it's going to be over. Don't worry. God has heard. Now I went home. Mr. Andrews came over. He said, what do you think about it, preacher? I said, she's going to live. He started to cry. I said, she's going to live. I said, don't worry. God's done it, said by the same vision told that woman down there she's going to live. Now she's up. Now there's a woman. I said, now, Mrs. Reese. I said, now, she's going to live too. And he said, oh, I'm so glad, preacher. In a few moments, the phone rang, and he went over and said, come to your wife at once. She's dying. So he come told me. I said, do you believe what I told you? He said, well, preacher, I want to. He said, but you tell me she's dying. I said, I don't make a bit of difference what to say. I said, when God speaks anything, it's got to be just that way. So he said, so the first thing you know, he said, oh, I can't go see it. I'll just see why. I said, you still think she's going to die, don't you? He said, I'm just all nerves. I thought, that's good for you right now. You see, to sweat it out here. So just let it go. And the first thing you know, another phone call comes. They called him across the street. Here he went over, and he come back. And they said, I got to go to the hospital right at once. So out the hospital he went. And he said, what do you think about it? I said, well, don't worry about it. God done said so. I settled it. I said, if that woman don't bake me an apple pie, in 3 days from now, and I'll be sitting on that porch and eat it, then I'm a false prophet. That's right. She could really bake a good one, too. So I knew it. So I told Mother Bosco, told the nurse that. I said, she bakes me a pie in 3 days from now. If that isn't so, then I'll walk out of the ministry. That's right. I said, because it absolutely is the truth. And you know, he come back across the field in a few moments, and the mucus running out of his nose, and he was a leaping and a jumping like that. He said, preacher, guess what happened? Said, I went there, just tears. And the time I got there, it said, something had broke loose, and all the water had run out of her, and she was sitting up in a bed, said she was hungry. And I called the nurse and said, they brought her up some bouillon. And she said, take that stuff out, I want some wieners and sauerkraut. And she was honoring well. She lives today. And God in heaven, who looked down, about a week after, he made me that pocketbook that I've carried ever since in my pocket around the world. That's right. That is the truth. God in heaven knows it. She lives tonight. Why? Because Jesus lives. She lives. Oh, God bless you. That's right. Jesus, when he spoke to them, begin to reveal to them. Notice, the very thing they said, he said, why are you sad? Christians shouldn't be sad. They should be happy. Real happy. Joy. He said, why are you so sad? They said, are you just a stranger? And don't know that Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet, that we expected to take the throne of David, that we all had faith in him? He's done great signs and wonders before. And what a great prophet he was. And then they delivered him, the people delivered him up to Pilate, they crucified him, buried him, and said, this is the third day since that happened. Said some of our women of our group went up to the grave probably to put some flowers on it or whatever more. And said, they said the tomb was empty, and they seen a vision, and told him he was raised from the dead. And said, well then, of course we believe that was a foolish story. And said, then one more was with our group. He said he'd seen something about it. And when he said he started what? Jesus ever started arguing with them or talking? He said, what he did went straight to the Word. That's it. Brother, the Word of God. That's the basis and foundation for all salvation and healing. Lays in the Word. Not your feelings, not what you think about it, but what God has said about it. could tell us, pass that I could pass that in your heart where it would never leave. Today, I was reading a little case of Scripture, Amos 8:11, where it said there would be a famine, not for bread, for bread and water, but for hearing of the Word of God, that people would go from the sea to the sea, from east, from west, to and fro, everywhere, seeking for the Word of God and failed to find it. If that don't fit this nation at this time, I don't know where it does it. Right. We don't need bread. We got plenty of it. We got plenty to eat, plenty clothes to wear, nice homes to live in and everything. But there is a famine for the hearing of the Word of God. A man don't know what to believe. That's right. You're all confused. One say this and one say that. One say this and one say something else. Base your thoughts on the Word of the Lord. God will confirm it. Jesus went right straight to the Word and began to pour the Word in. Said, fools and slow of heart, not to understand, went back in the Old Testament and began to prove how that Christ had suffered and raised the third day. So they got to the little place where they were going, so they went into the restaurant. So he made out like he was going on by. Did you ever have a time? Maybe this poor man lady is suffering on this top. He's made out like he's going to pass by you. He won't. See? Invite him in. Maybe this poor man sitting here in a crutch, the man sitting in a wheelchair, he might act like he's going to pass by you tonight, but he won't. Just invite him to come to you and see what happens. Just invite him in. They said, oh, come in. We just love to hear you teach the Word. We heard all the Pharisees and so forth, but there was something about your teaching was different. Come in. Let's teach us a little more. So they went in. And what's inside the door, maybe a humble little hut, no matter how humble it was, but it's never too humble for him to come into it. No matter how poor you are, how bad off you are, you're never too bad off for what Jesus will come in at your invitation. No matter how much you sin, what you've done, just give him an invitation, he'll come right in and make his abode. Isn't that lovely? All right, they invited him in, and once in, the doors closed behind him, he would shut the rest of the world out. Now, if you're just a little superstitious tonight of the presence of the Lord, when the meeting's going on, invite him into your heart and then close the door and the rest of your unbelief on the outside. See if you don't make yourself known to you. Once in there, set out the table, the waiters probably come and they order their supper, and as they put it out on the table, no doubt his heart beating, looking at them, and them looking at him. They didn't know it. Why, the Bible said their eyes were closed. They didn't understand it. They were sitting right with him, walking right with him, talking right with him. They were eating with him and didn't know who he was. And friend, that's as true as it can be today. That's as true as I'm standing on this platform. That the resurrected Jesus Christ is right in this building talking to individuals right now. If you could only recognize that that's his voice, I pray that it'll make yourself manifest in that while. And prove to you that he's here in the building. Jesus is not dead. He's risen from the dead. And he's here on earth carrying on the ministry that he had. When he was here on earth in the physical form, he carried on through human beings as he promised he would. The very things that I do shall you do also. Saving, doing the will of the Father. That's what he came for. And he's here tonight. And when he had those disciples in there, sat at the table, he looked at him, he thought, well, you've heard me teach the gospel now. You heard me preach today. So I believe I'll just let you know that I'm really him. So he picked up some bread, and he just done it a little different from what the other man did it. So they realized that it was him, and their eyes were open. And they recognized, and he vanished from their sight. Wow, it was a Sabbath day journey getting over there, but they sure went back light-footed, light-hearted, leaping and jumping and praising the Lord. They knew that he was risen from the dead. Went back, he didn't go back to argue their religion now. They went back with one thing in their heart. Jesus has risen from the dead. That's the thing tonight, not argue religion. Arguing different phases, arguing about different church denominations, arguing about different nations. What the world needs to know tonight, Jesus has risen from the dead.
Amen.
And he lives among men.
Amen.
Amen. Not argue about pinpoint this and cut this and move this and this and far. Just forget and look on to him and believe he raised from the dead and he'll manifest himself to you. Amen. Just that simple. You say, well, if an angel was preaching that, God didn't ordain angels to preach the gospel.
That's right.
He ordained man to preach the gospel.
Amen.
He ever said to the angels, I'll be with you and in you. He said to man, I'll be with you and in you. He never said to angels, the things that I do, you'll do also. He said to man, the things I do, you'll do also.
Yes.
The gospel comes by preaching of the word. God manifests himself through human beings.
Amen.
Amen. The only eyes God got on the earth tonight is mine and yours. The only hands he has is our hands. God working in his people. God's in the universe. God's in his word. God's in his son. God's in his people. God is here now.
Yes.
Resurrected from the dead. Night after night proving himself alive among us.
Bringing
sinners, dead sinners, alienated, cut off from God. Bringing to a recognition of God, saving their souls, filling them with the Holy Spirit, healing the sick, giving sight to the blind.
Yes.
Wake up, people! Don't be caring about whatever wind of doctrine. Then the days of miracles are past. These things are for another age. Don't be tossed about. Believe the resurrected Lord Jesus. That was their teaching back there when he was raised on that Easter morning. But he was alive. And he's here tonight. He's here. Don't never forget that. If you never remember a thing that I've ever said to you, remember me by this. That Jesus Christ, the Son of God, raised from the dead and is alive today among man. Come now, sinners. He lives sick and afflicted. He's the same in every way that he ever was and ever will be. The same yesterday, today, and forever. The Lord Jesus, seeking lost sinners. Are you lost? If you are saved, it's wonderful. But if you're lost, God has a preparation to save you by. The worst thing I can think of is somebody lost. Being a hunter, I go into the mountains just a minute before closing now. And then we'll start praying for the sick just in a minute. I feel the Holy Spirit would have me call the people up here and pray for them. Now, I was lost once in the woods. I went near the Canadian border where I'd been. I thought I was just too good a woodsman to ever get lost. And when you trust in yourself, that's when you get lost. That's when you are lost. That's when Adam was lost, when he trusted in himself to make a fig leaf to cover himself over. See? He had to come on the merits of the shed blood. And whenever you think, oh, I go to church, I'm as good as you are, preacher. Certainly you are. But are you as good as God wants you to be? You ain't good in the first place. And I ain't good in the first place. The only goodness is in us is what God did for us through Jesus Christ.
That's right.
That's right. Yes, sir. We're all sinners. But the only way we can be saved is by accepting the Lord Jesus and his free pardon. Now, I was totally lost. I told my wife I'd be back. I took her. Billy was just a little baby. Little bitty fellow, about 3-4 years old. I'd be 5 years old. And was way in the head of the Adirondack near the Canadian border. And we drove up about 25, 30 miles up an old log road like that where they'd done some shopping, cutting across woods. And we come to the ranger's camp, about 100 there for a year. I told the wife I'd go to bear hunt. I said, I'm going down here to hunt deer and I'll pick up a deer, come back, I'll be back with me. She said, I'll be waiting for you. Cold that night, we had to take little Billy and put him between us, keep him from freezing to death. Cold November, and the land was freezing, dropping off the tree. Had a little shelter after the cabin of rock, the Air King Mountain, the tower set up there, and we was going to go way back over another part of the country to hunt. So he was going to unlock the cabin, and she could go in there and let Billy stay while we taken the ship and went away. So there was just a kid merely herself, about 21, 22 years old. And so that night we liked to froze. So Billy, a little fire, make a little lean-to. And so then the next morning I thought I'd get a deer because he was supposed to come that day. And so I told her, I'll be back at noon. And I went down across the hill, through the shopping, come back up along the ridge.
And I see a box that got my city folks up here to shoot, so one of them over here. I trailed up along the side and went into a great big bed, and there wasn't nothing in there. I come back, went down towards the giant. What they call the giant, the great massive forest in there for miles after miles, all flat woods like in that car. So I got way down on the side and seen a deer over a great big fella, and I shot the deer. When I got to over there, I said, well, now look here, it's 12 o'clock, so I got to hurry. I went back, started back up this way, the storm was coming down, fog. When you get fog in the woods, any hunter knows that's a dangerous time. You can't hardly see your hands before you. Well, I started walking, I said, I got to hurry. I went along, I kept walking. I thought, well, my, where'd I turn off at? And the first thing you know, I had to stop, look, I thought, well, I've seen this place somewhere. Look up there hung my deer. So I know that I walked around somewhere. So I said, now I've got to go one certain way. And I walked again, come back to your place three times. Like I said, now the Indian calls that the death walk. Walk up here, you're walking in a circle. And I knew that, but how was I going to get out? And now the storm is back down, blowing at the top of the trees, fog gets a turning. I thought, now there's a sensible thing to do. I'd have went into somewhere and a cave somewhere, and I would have ended up till the storm was over and climbed up to a high place and see where I was and go on. But I got a wife and baby up there. We freeze to death and die that night. They're never in the woods in their life. They didn't know how to take care of themselves. And scare them to death anyhow. Well, I know they both die that night. I had to find them. And what a feeling. Oh, my. Baby and wife to die in the woods that night. And but I thought I was too good to ever be lost in the woods. So I went around, I thought, well, now, yeah, I've got to go one way. I thought, as I come up the mountain, the wind was facing me in the face. I come down this way, so that was short this way. I thought, now the storm coming, which way did it come? Now the winds are changing out, pockets and circuits, it'll go anyway. Well, this way around and this way around. Well, it was crowding. Marked on both sides of the tree down that low place, so wasn't much in the world. I could find for a landmark. But down there, of course, the wind don't get down there, but there's a blizzard on both sides of the street. So nothing in the world I could find to get myself out of the woods. So I said, well, I'm not going to get nervous. Anyone knows what happens when you take a fever and you need to make sure you die or die. So I said, oh, my. I said, I've got to get out of here. Sat myself on the side of the face. I said, look in here, William Branham. You're not lost. What's the matter with you, boy? You know how to get out of here. I was bluffing myself. I was lost. Sure, I was lost. I said, well, you're too good in the woods to ever get lost. My goodness, what would your grandfather think about you to see you sitting there acting like this? Well, get up from here. I got to walk a little bit farther, and I was still lost. That's all. And I said, well, I got to make a shot to get out of here somewhere. So I said, I'm going to make one straight D line right this way. And I said, I'm not going to fool around. I'm going right this way. And I know I'm going to come right out straight to Harrison Mountain. If I could only see Harrison Mountain, I know where the tower was. I could get down from there. I don't go right to the west, over to Worm. So the fog gets a-blowing, the timbers are cracking. So I said, here I go, right this way. And I started going. Something telling me right beside my ear said, I am a very present help in a time of trouble. I'm the Lord. I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. I thought, look here, I know I'm going out. Now there's something wrong with me, see? I said, I'm hearing voices. There's something wrong with me. I said, look here, straighten yourself up, boy. What's the matter with you? You've got to go on. You're not lost. You know exactly where you're at. Now go on. And I thought, look down here, it's already 4:30 in the afternoon. Oh, my, I'm supposed to be there at noon. She's having screaming spells now. Because she knows that kid in the woods never was in the woods in her life. That little baby up there wouldn't even know how to make a bomb. Nothing. So then if he scared me out like that, they scared a wild animals. And wasn't nothing to hurt them, of course, but they was scared. And so I just kept walking on, and I kept hearing something that said, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. I'm the Lord. I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. I stopped and I thought, wonder if that could be him speaking. I said, am I man enough to admit I'm lost? Am I man enough to admit that I'm lost? I took off my hat and laid it down, and I said, dear God, I'm lost. I am lost. I don't know where I am. I don't know how to get out of here. I knelt down on my hat, and I set my gun beside the tree. I said, Father, I am totally lost. I'm about
feeling that self-sustaining in myself. I deserve to die. But Lord, have mercy on my poor little wife and baby out there. They're going to die too. They're worthy to live, and I'm unworthy. But I'm lost, and would you help me for their sake? I said, I don't know what to do. If that's you speaking, saying you're a present help in a time of trouble, you be my compass now. You take me out. There's none of the natural signs around me, but I'm lost. Will you help me? I raised up, wiped my eyes. I thought, well, God, you direct me. Here I go. I don't know which way I'm going, but I'm going to walk. I believe I come this way. I said, I'm going. Now, that's my own opinion. I'm going this way. And I put my hat down, picked up my rifle, started off going this way. Now, just as true as I'm standing on this platform tonight, this Bible, I felt somebody put their hand on my shoulder. And I turned to see who it was, and just as I turned, the fog cleared away back this way. I seen the tower on Hurricane Mountain back this way. I turned this way real quick and faced myself, took off my hat, throwed down my rifle, raised up my hands. I said, oh, God. Oh, how I appreciate this. Lord, I was going right into Canada. I've never come out of it. I said, Lord, that is my own opinion. And sometimes you take in your own opinion, you'll go wrong every time. Pray and ask God what to do. And I looked towards that. I thought, I've got to keep my faith set right straight the way. Now the fog covered up again. It just cleared back enough so I could see. I know if I could ever get up to that tower or across that line, across that side of the mountain. I helped the ranger put up that telephone line that run down to the camp where his wife stayed in the summertime. And I know if I could ever get to that, I'd get all that line. No matter how bad it was storming, I could find my way to my family. And I stood there looking that way. Something come to me and said, yes, you was lost again, worse than this. But just keep your eyes on Calvary. I started like that, walking. I couldn't bypass. I couldn't go around and throw me off of my course. I was about at least 5 miles from it. And it was getting dark right then. And I went through the bushes and deer jumped up ahead of me. I'd fall and skin my legs all up, pitch dark. And I was pulling down, trying to get up these twisting things, trying to keep my course just the best as I could. I thought, I'm on top now. It looked like now I couldn't see that line, so I just kept my hands up like this. Put my rifle down over my shoulder and swing, put my hands up and just kept walking. I said, I got my hands up, Lord. Let me feel that line when I pass over. Snow hit me in the face and brush. I kept walking, and the first thing you know, something touched my hand. I felt it. It was that water. Oh, my. You know what feeling it was? I thought if I follow that wire, don't take my hand off of it, follow that wire right down that hill about 2.5 or 3 miles, I'd be right with my wife and baby down the bottom of the hill. There it come to me. Yes, every man alienated from God, cut off in this world, not knowing where he's going, care about everywhere. But if you look to Calvary, hold up your hands to God and accept Christ as your Savior. Yeah. Or if something strikes your hand, that's the way home. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit then. Hold your hand, His unchanging hand. It'll lead you right straight to your lover, the Lord Jesus. Do you believe it? Shall we bow our heads just a moment and pray? Our Heavenly Father, I think of the old song that said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And I think of that blinding storm that night. My heart jumping, fever raging in my body, scared to death. Knowing that I perished that night, and so would my wife and baby. God, there may be men and women sitting here tonight. It's all so in the spiritual realms in that same prediction. Their family will perish if dad doesn't come or mother one quickly. The children will be cared about out here in the world. May they tonight look through this misty fog that hangs over the earth and see Calvary. Raise their hands to the Lord Jesus and touch the lifeline that leads home. Grant, Lord, our last night in this series of services, bless every wayward, lost man or woman
Maybe they trusted in the arm of flesh. Maybe they trusted in some church creed, but never ever touched the line. They never had that blessed assurance in their heart that this is the line that leads to happiness, freedom, and to the Lord Jesus. The line that runs from Calvary to glory. May every dark, staggering, alienated person in the building tonight reach their hand, Father. Feel around just a moment. They'll touch something that will anchor a faith in their heart that will lead them to glory. While we have our heads bowed, everyone praying. Why should we turn a year today? Many of you here won't be here. 2,000 people guessing here tonight, somebody will slip out. Have you been staggered in darkness? Been coming to the meeting? You look, you see the signs of the Lord Jesus resurrected. You hear the word, he's been talking to you back there. You're staggering along in darkness. Will you raise your hand to him tonight and say, Lord Jesus, I want to touch the life by now. I'm raising up my hand. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you. Yeah, you. That's right. Everywhere. God bless you, mother. God bless you, young man. God bless you, little boy. Way back in the back, any standing around back there would say, raise up your hand, not to me, to God. God bless you, Spanish brother. God bless you, little lady. God bless you, the white lady standing there. Up in the balcony to my left, you all look up there at the hands along there. Just feel there just a minute. Let God be merciful to me, a sinner. God bless you, Spanish lady down here. Balcony to the right. Raise up your hand and say, yes, I believe him right now. I've wandered around all kinds of darkness. I really never even knew. I went to church. Oh, yes, I've put my name on the book, but really, to have that hope that I got at my hand right now, I've never really had that assurance. But now I'm coming firmly upon the basis of the shed blood of Jesus and his resurrection power. And that resurrected spirit is speaking to my heart, and I'm raising my hand right now to say, God, here I raise my hand for the lifeline. Many dozens have raised their hand. Would someone else put up your hand now that did not raise your hand a few moments ago anywhere? God bless you up here, brother. God bless you. God bless you there, sister. God bless you back there, brother. God bless you, sister. I see your hand. Someone else? God bless you, brother. Back there, I see your hand. Someone else? God bless you. You. You here, the little lady with both hands up. Someone else? The man sitting here? God bless you, sir. That's a good way to be healed, to just accept the Lord like that. Someone else? A little boy up here with both hands up. God bless you, honey. Someone else? A lady over here, elderly, with her hand up. Yes. Wasted many years, but I'm coming home now. God bless you, young man. God bless you over here, brother. Someone else? Remember, when you raise your hand and mean it from your heart, God obligated to do it right then. God bless the colored sister sitting here. The brother over here with his hand up, a little brown sweater on. God bless you. God bless the lady sitting here. That's right, sister. Jesus said, he that heareth my words, believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life right now. God bless you, brother, back there. Both hands up right now, receiving Jesus. God bless you, sir. God bless you, lady. God bless you, sir. God bless you, sir. Young man there, just what did Jesus say? You have right now everlasting life. He that heareth my words, I've done my best to bring them to you. Now believeth on him that sent me, has everlasting life, and shall never come into condemnation. God bless you up there, sister, standing by the side of the post, little Spanish girl. Has everlasting life, shall never perish. Never perish. Mean it from your heart. God bless you, mother, aged woman, someone. Has to help her hold her hand up, you're coming to the Lord Jesus. Say, Brother Brandon, what does that mean? That means you're passing death to life right there. God will take care of the rest of it by giving you the Holy Spirit. Just once meet in your heart, let Christ come to your heart, then you'll grow in the grace of God. God will just unfold the thing to you. First, get started right. Get Get down, faith. By faith are you saved through grace. Not out of works, lest any man should boast. Nothing you can do. Quit doing this or quit doing that. You just believe. God saves you by grace. God bless you, sister, with your hand up there. God bless you, little lady back there. You, oh my. That's right. New ones just putting up their hands everywhere except in the Lord Jesus. My, I guess we're around 60 or 70 now. Someone else raise your hand. That hasn't raised their hand, say, remember me, God. God bless you, the little fellow, the little lady there with her handkerchief up. Anywhere else before we go to prayer. God bless, I see the man back there, yes, the back to Spanish brother. Back there holding the hand up of another, yeah, I see you. God bless you, God sees you. God bless the little girl there with her hand up, just a child, but coming to the Lord. All right. God bless you over here, sister. Oh, that's wonderful. Just waiting a few moments, giving the Holy Spirit a time just to speak to the heart. Maybe he's moving over the audience, knocking at every door. Who was that told you to put up your hand? Who was that said that? Jesus said, no man can come to me except my Father draws him. And all that comes to me, after my Father's knocked at their heart, all that comes raises up their hands to the lifeline. I'll give them everlasting life and I'll raise them up at the last day. Someday when the life is gurgling out of your throat, maybe in an automobile accident, maybe by a fever, sickness, or just death coming to you. When you feel the chilly pains coming up your sleeve, your friends are weeping, you'll see that blessed Redeemer standing there with his outstretched arms to take your soul, to place it into a new body. A new man or a young woman, never to get old no more, to live in his presence forever. Because what you did, just believed and raised up your hand. God bless you, the sweetest little curly-headed, blonde-headed girl sitting here with her little hand up, her little eyes watering, looking this way. And you say, God's not speaking to that child. Sure he is. She hasn't calloused her heart to the things of the world yet. She's innocent, just a baby. About 6, 7 years old. God bless you, sister there, and the young lady. I suggest another before we close. God bless, there's a whole row of them by coming up back there. I just hate to close that you're still raising your hands for salvation. How many in here now would like to receive the Holy Spirit? Would you raise your hands all over the building, everywhere? My, just look at the hands everywhere. God be merciful. Shall we pray now? Everyone with your head bowed, your eyes closed. Jesus raised from the dead. Oh, my. Think that this is the night we're partying now. But you've accepted Christ. We'll meet again or we'll never part. Just because that you accepted him tonight, that means the difference. Heavenly Father, the great Phoenix meeting is now drawing to a close, and at the end, many, many sinners raise their hands to thee upon the teaching of the word that you said, he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Shall not perish or come into condemnation, be condemned, no more condemned before God, but has accepted Jesus Christ and his suffering and their stead. Now, Father, sweetly, humbly lead them on as they hold their hands against the lifeline, walk towards glory. Won't you bless them now? Save every one of them, Father. In thy kingdom, may I see them and shake their hands, and if it be possible, may you be able to review tonight's service for us. They say, yes, that was the one. There's where I asked me to put up my hand. God say, yeah, I saw you. I trusted your heart. You raised your hand. I accepted you. And now you're my beloved child, coming to the joy of life. Been prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Enter into the joy. We thank thee, Father. Those who have already come and wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit, set aside for service, granted to them also, Lord. Finally, at the end of the road, when life's all finished, the great wedding supper is set, there that table thousands of miles long, the blood washed of all ages sitting around there, the king come out, wipe the tears from their eyes. Say, there's no more suffering now. There's no reason to cry now. We're all here. Come, you blessed of my Father. Until that time, Father, keep them happy in their souls. Cleanse them from all uncleanness and unrighteousness. May they walk each day with their sails set towards glory. Bring others to thee. For we ask that in Jesus' name, thy beloved Son, who has now called them to everlasting life, amen. Believe with all your heart, with all your strength. Just take all the feeling away that you just imagined, or all the superstitious feeling. Just throw it aside. Then just look right straight to God and say, I believe it with all my heart, Solomon. And watch and see what the Holy Spirit will do. Now, all ready? Now, for the glory of God, and for the testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I take every spirit in the building under my control. Now be reverent. Don't move around. Sit still. Please. Now this closing night, do me that favor in Jesus' name, will you? Just be real reverent. Sit still. They'll watch me. They won't let me too long in the line. And then, because I'm very weak and tired. And I love you all with warmest of Christian love. God bless you. If the anointing strikes me, of course, I don't know when they take me or what happens. And I hope to see you again right away. Until then, I'll be praying for you. God bless you. All right, lady. Now, if you'll come here just a moment, sister. Now, we are supposedly, I suppose we're strangers to one another. We are. You've seen. But I mean to not to know you. If I do, I don't recognize it. I don't recognize you. And we just see one another just like you be in the audience, look back and see me. But to know who you are, where you are, what's happened, that's impossible, isn't it? Only that should be revealed by spiritual revelation or a vision or some way of knowing. I have no more idea of what you're here for than I know what, well, anybody else is here for. I don't. But he knows what you're here for. And he can tell me what you're here for. Show me what you're here for. I could tell you. If it's for healing of your body, then, well, God could do that by your faith believing. I see you're a personal worker. So, but if he will let me know what you're here for. Now, I'm talking to you just like man to a woman, just like Jesus to the woman at Samaria. Now, to the audience, here's a woman that I don't know. You may know her. Are you from Phoenix here? Are you? You're from Phoenix? People out there know her, don't you? Well, I don't know her. I've never seen her in my life. But you know whether this is truth or not. And you know whether I know anything about her or not. I have no way. I don't know the woman, let alone know anything about her. Now, the only way that would be done, if it were done in the scriptural terms, I'd take away from the old, some kind of a creed you've learned, and let's look at the Bible. Jesus said, the things that I do, shall you also. Now, when he met a woman like this, he began to talk to her. And the first thing you know, he found just exactly where her trouble was. And in that case, she was a woman that had five husbands. Said, go get your husband. She said, I don't have any. He said, you got five. She said, I perceive that you're a prophet. But I know when Messiah cometh, that'll be his sign. See, the sign of the Messiah to do that. The people today said it's mental telepathy. It's the devil. No wonder we're in the condition we're in. It's the resurrected Lord Jesus, the sign of the Messiah. But she said, who are you? He said, I'm he. She ran into the city and said, come see. Start a revival in that city. It's because of one woman's testimony, telling her one thing. If this ain't perfectly the case outside of knowing what's wrong with her tonight. Is that right? Everybody recognize that? Now, you, she's a Phoenix woman, she said. And you all know her. Many of you raise your hands, you know her. Now, the Lord can tell me what's wrong with her. But if she's here for domestic trouble, financial trouble, or healing, sick, or whatever it is, or for her soul, whatever it might be, God can reveal it. And she'll know whether that's true or not. Then, if he knows what was, surely he knows what will be. Now, everyone be reverent. Now, as I talk to the woman, just to catch her spirit. Now, I'm kind of waiting for you to quieten, if you will. Don't move around. There's all kind of spirit in here tonight. The moving sickness, I mean. And I see, especially children. Children, it gets the children so easy. So don't, just as I said, that epilepsy begin to pull. And that's right. That's the thing that, as soon as I tell you, to know spiritual things, friends. See just how words will change spiritual attitudes and everything. See? Just as he heard me say that, an epilepsy began to move in. Now, I just want to talk to you just a minute. Just in order to see your human spirit. Now, if God will, you are a Christian believer. And if God will remove or move in and tell me what you're here for, then you will believe. No, believing, it comes from God. The first thing, to have something wrong by eating, it's about a stomach condition. You have a stomach trouble, which is a gastric condition in the stomach, because it causes stuff to come in your mouth. And then if it's a gastric condition in the stomach, then you've got an arm that's bad. And that's your left arm, and it was crushed by an automobile. That's the truth. You believe now? You believe now? Come here. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless now. Give to her the desire of her heart. In Jesus Christ's name, I ask this. Amen. Amen. Have faith. Believe with all your heart. Now, we're total strangers to each other, too. Now, here's the perfect picture of the Lord Jesus at the well. He was a Jew and she was a Samaritan, a racial condition, just like today. Me being a white man, you're a colored woman. But if Jesus let them know right quick, it didn't make any difference to God. We're all off of one person. We all are children of God. But whether Jew, Gentile, white, colored, yellow, brown, it doesn't matter. God, by one blood, through His Son, Jesus Christ, has bought us every one. And in that, we become brothers and sisters. Now, me being a stranger to you, you believe that God will do something for you as you do. You know I don't know you, do you, lady? We're strangers. But you're suffering with a nervous condition. You're nervous, upset. You got a lot of things in your heart, sorrow. You're all broke up about something. I see it getting dark, coming darker. It seems to be somebody standing back in there, but it's a man, and he's weaving sideways. He's coming home. It's your husband. He's a drunkard. And you're here to have mercy, God. All right. That's true, sister. Come near. Father, I pray that you'll grant her request in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How do you do, sister? I want you to be reverent everywhere. Please don't move. Now, lady, are we strangers to each other? We don't know each other. Total strangers. But Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died to save something wrong with your side, having the sister sitting there, right there in front. Got trouble in your side. A real strange thing happened once that lady a few minutes ago was told something about a loved one because you're praying for a loved one too. That's an unsaved father I've seen standing and you're praying for him. That's true, isn't it? God bless you, young lady. Now there are two both them people sitting on the end right there suffering with epilepsy. That's right. Thou demon, in the name of Jesus Christ, you leave them. Come out of it. You believe now, lady, with all your heart? You believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is here to make you well? I believe you do. You realize that just now you're in the presence of something, don't you, sister? It's His presence. Isn't it a wonderful feeling to stand in His presence? Now, if that's right, so the audience will see, raise up your hand, that wonderful consolation of love, life, for you. You are suffering with a trouble in your lungs, a lung trouble. Seems like you have something. You have rib moves or something, some kind of a rib trouble. It's under your ribs move. Yes. I've seen them taking or doing something to the rib. And you've got a curvature of the spine. And it's got a stomach trouble. Because it's pushed over. They said he got the stomach pushed in the wrong condition. And then you have a hurting in your back. That's the truth. You believe Jesus is here to heal you? Then if that's Him speaking to, then it's not me. Come, let me have my hand. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, make our sister well and all she asks for. In Jesus' name, amen. Have faith. Don't doubt. Sister, sitting there with a liver trouble, sitting right there. You was praying, man. You said, God, let Him speak to me, and I'll believe you. Isn't that exactly what you said? Raise your hand if that's this right. Now stand up on your feet. The liver trouble blessed you, sister. How do you do it, sir? You believe? We are strangers to one another, brother, but Jesus Christ knows both of us. If God will tell me exactly what you're here for, will you accept what you've come for to Jesus? You will? There's a shadow of death hangs over you, and that's a cause in your stomach, and that's a cancer in the stomach. You believe now that Jesus Christ is going to make you well?
Yes.
You accept it right now on the basis of His dead blood? Then go eat. In Jesus Christ's name, may the devil leave my friend. Amen. Have faith. Don't doubt. Jesus said, if thou canst believe, that's the way, a little fella. Amen. That Indian woman sitting on the end out there had her head down praying just then.
has got a comb in her hair. The image of the Lord, that light, hangs over the woman. She's suffering with hay fever. That's right, Indian lady. Jesus Christ make you whole. Say your friend sitting next to you, that other Indian woman there. She's suffering with a head trouble. Put your hand over on her, too, that she may be made well also. Raise up your hand there, lady, and receive your healing through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. There you go. Healed. Dark streak of blackness leading, moving out, something white shoving it. It's over. Have faith.
It's just the patient.
You believe me, lady, as God's servant, with all your heart? I don't know you. Never seen you. But your life you couldn't hide now because of contact with your spirit through Jesus Christ. You're here for a worthy thing. You're a woman that's barren and want children. You won't be laying my hands on you that you'll receive your child. Heavenly Father, give unto this woman the desire of her heart. I bless her as your servant in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Have faith. Don't doubt. You want to get on the arthritis study right back there? Raise up. Your faith healed you, sister. That's right. Raise up. Shut your hands up in the air. Let the people see that you're healed. Absolutely. You're free from it now. Amen. Your faith makes you whole. Amen. Have faith in God. Don't doubt. Come here, lady. You believe? I'm a stranger to you. We do not know each other, I suppose, but Jesus Christ knows both of us. Spirits are begging for help. Just a moment, lady. Us being strangers to each other, not never seeing each other, if a Holy Spirit, brother, through me, would tell just what your trouble is, would you believe it? And you believe it comes from God? Would the audience believe it comes from God? Now, of course, more would talk to you, more would say, but just what it says. I see something around your arm. It's a high blood pressure you have. And also you have a choking spirit, garter in your throat, choking, inward garter. That's the truth. You're not from this country. You come from way in the east. You come from Grandview, Tennessee. That's right. That shock you. Your name's Miss Lily Edwards, too. That's right. I go home and be well. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have faith. How do you do? The first thing to say to you, my friend, is your life with God. You ain't pleasing yourself the way you're walking. You want a little closer walk with the Lord. That's right. I see you asked Him in prayer. Then I see you've got a growth. And the growth is growing. And the growth is in the stomach. Isn't that true? You want to close your walk with God? You want to be healed? Then believe that what's talking to you, not your brother, the Lord Jesus Christ to give it to you. Do you do it? Then in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, receive what you ask for. You're near the kingdom, sister. Lady, this someone, this the patient. We're strangers to each other, I suppose. I don't know you, but God knows you. You're a believer? You're not standing here for yourself. You're standing for a friend. And you just received some kind of a message from that friend. And they're going to be operated on in the morning for cancer. And that's near a big lake or something. It's near Chicago.
Amen.
No, that's right. God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, grant the healing of whatever she asks for. Through Jesus' name. Lord Jesus can heal heart troubles just the same as He can heal anything. You believe that? You believe you've got it now? In Jesus' name, go and receive. Amen. Come, lady. You believe with all your heart? I just got to bring you a little. Yes. No, just hold me up. Look again this way just a minute. You believe? You want to go eat your supper? Had stomach trouble, been bothering you all upset, cramping, hurting, drawing you double. Lady trouble, go on your road. Jesus Christ make you well. You believe? You believe God will heal you of this anemia condition? You believe you can go home and be made well of this anemia condition? God bless you. Go and receive what you ask for in Jesus' name. All right. Come, lady. See you limping when you come. Me? No, it isn't. You haven't got a broken. It's the arthritis that's bothering it. You believe your Jesus Christ is going to make you well? Go and be made well in Jesus' name. Would you come, lady? You believe? You don't get over that back trouble, kidney trouble. You believe Jesus makes you well? Then go and Jesus Christ heal you and make you completely well. But your arthritis is healed when you step right down there, sir, tonight. All right. If you were sitting out there looking at me tonight, right down there, there's a real cool thing went through your stomach. They all sure left thing. How did you? Heart trouble is gone, brother. Go rejoice in praise God. Believe with all your heart. Eyes and stomach, but Jesus Christ makes you well. Have faith! Just a minute. Don't fear your kidney trouble. Everything's gone from you. Don't believe. Stomach trouble, anything. God can heal it all. Make you well. Heal you perfectly. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray the prayer for my brother. So much love. It's just everywhere. Look! It's just hitting everywhere. You got heart trouble, lady. Everyone with heart trouble, stand on your feet just a minute. See what I told you? How you go to discern? It's just coming everywhere. Stand here just a minute. Believe with all your heart now. Stand here. Remain standing a minute. Look here, lady. Got TB. Everyone with TB, stand on your feet just a minute. Jump up real quick, TB cases. Be faithful. Believe with all your heart. Lungs. Lungs that keep moving. That's all right, sir. You stand up anyhow. You haven't got TB, but you have got pneumonia in your lungs. That's right. Standing right there. That's right. You. Stand still. This man here right here's got pneumonia in his lungs on his stretcher. Stand up, sir. Jesus Christ.
Stand up a minute. Get up. Oh, God. In the name of Jesus Christ,